You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, a blind veteran from Shipley has secured his first international medal for Team GB at the British Taekwondo International Poomsae Championships in London. Steve Birkin competed in the event and won silver as part of the GB Para Poomsae squad. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I suppose we should say congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it was a very good weekend. Good weekend. Good all-round result, all-round.
Am I right in saying that you've only taken up Taekwondo in the last 2 years?
Yes, it was around May of 2016. I'd lost my sight and I created a bucket list. And in the top four, one of them was to get a black belt in a martial art. It was nothing specific, just a martial art. I phoned round various martial arts clubs in the area and none of them would take me on, basically saying, insurance, we can't take you on. We'd have to pay extra insurance. The club's too small, so we can't do it. So I feel a bit disheartened, but then my girlfriend, Angela, she said, leave with me, I'll see what I can do. And she found a club called Horizon Taekwondo Academy. And I then phoned them, spoke to the chief coach, Rick Simpson, who said, no, come along, we'll see how we get on. So after going to his club, it felt really good. I was with him for a few weeks and everything was going well. And I decided I wanted more than just a black belt. I wanted to be part of the whole ethos of it, enter competitions and get as much out as I could.
Now, I don't know much about Taekwondo. I know there's a lot of kicking involved.
Yes.
And it looks as if it could be quite painful at times.
It can be. There's two main groups of Taekwondo, you can put it. There's WTF and ITF. ITF is International Taekwondo Federation, which is North Korea. And WTF is World Taekwondo Federation, which is South Korea. Now, that's the one you see in the Olympics. If you want to enter any of the major competitions, you need to join a club that's a WTF-approved club, because they do all the big competition around the world, the Olympics, World Championships, European Championships, International Championships. I'm not sure how it works with ITF, but I know all the major ones are all WTF. Now, when you've got under the WTF umbrella, it then splits into various areas. You've got what's called Karugi, Poomsae, and Freestyle. Karugi is what you see in the Olympics, which is the sparring, where you're kicking each other. It's like 99.9% kicks with the odd punch or a push to push the opponent away. Then you've got Poomsae, which is the patterns, or in karate, it's kata, kung fu, it's forms, which is a specific set number of movements that you've got to follow to a T. Like every move you do, your hands have got to be in a certain position, your legs have got to be in a certain position. And in competitions, when you're doing you march down, you start from a point system. So you start at, say, 10 points. Every time you do a move and your hand's in the wrong position, you lose, say, a quarter of a point. And then if you're up against various other contestants, whoever's got the most points gets gold, less points, blah, blah, blah. Then you've got freestyle, which is it's like a display. It's still a set movements, but it's all like doing flips, somersaults, and that sort of thing as like a display. It's like entertainment. And you start learning that when you get to black belt, if you're interested in it.
So are you competing against sighted opponents then?
No. I'm in the actual para category, which is category P10, which is visually impaired. So if I go into competition, I'll go up against other P10s. In the UK, as far as I'm aware, there's two P10 males, me and a guy called Chris from London, and I believe there's about three or four P10 females, and that is the only visually impaired people in the UK that do Taekwondo. They've only got like about five people. And the British Taekwondo Federation and World Taekwondo Federation are trying to promote it and get more and more people involved. But in the para category, there's different categories. Like there's category P50, which is wheelchair users. I've got a friend who was over at the championships with me. She's in a wheelchair. There's people with upper limb problems, mental health issues. And in a competition, they'll only put you up against another person in that specific category, because it's just unfair to put a blind person up against somebody who's in a wheelchair, because their patterns have got to be totally different to yours. They've all been changed around to account for being in a wheelchair. So it doesn't matter what disability you've got, they will still take you in Taekwondo. it's they're trying to push more and more people in it.
Would you say it's a young person's sport?
No. Although they do take them on young. I believe my club will take them on starting out at the age of 4 in like the Tots Taekwondo. But as far as I'm aware, a lady in one of the clubs has just done her first grading and she's 75.
She's older than you.
She is, just. But no, if you feel like you can do it, you've got the, you know, you don't have to be physically, but as long as you know you can do it, they will take you on as Taekwondo. There's no medical. It's entirely up to you. If you can do it, you can do it. But then everybody has bad days, and sometimes you might go down a club and you just don't feel 100%. So you just do it, what you can. They won't push you hard unless you want to push it hard. You just do it at your own pace. There is more young people. There is a good percentage is teenagers. But as you get old, like at my club, there's me. My instructor, I believe, is about 44, and there's another guy, he's 39, and we're all around about the same grade. So, you know, there is a lot of young ones, but yet you have got old people doing it.
Now, you sound really comfortable in this now, but it's not always been as straightforward as this for you, has it?
No, it was. It was 4 years in June that I lost my sight. And I was working for NHS at the time, and I was getting these headaches. Never worn glasses. These headaches developed. And cut long story short, I went into hospital. My eyesight just deteriorated over a month. It was literally dead on a month when my specialist then said to me, "I'm sorry, I need to register you blind." So I had to quit my job. But I was very lucky. I was sat right next to the ECLO office, eye contact liaison officer. And he came out and said, "Look, I want earwigging, but I heard you've lost your sight. I might be able to help you." Had a chat to him. He put me in touch with various social service teams, but then he found out I'm ex-Navy, and he asked me if I had a Blind Veterans UK. So eventually I got put in touch with Blind Veterans. They took hold of me, and they've helped me a hell of a lot. A lot, really have. If it weren't for them, my life would probably totally different. It really would. So you still have your bad times, you really do. But if it weren't for Blind Veterans, you know, I've no idea what I'd be doing.
What are the challenges then of taking part in Taekwondo then when you're living with sight loss?
It's because I'm doing patterns and not actual sparring. It's we sparring, you just go in and you're kicking each other. With patterns, you've got to learn these set movements. Normally, your instructor would say, right, turn to the left, put your hand position here, put your feet here, do this. With sight loss, especially with mine, because my frontal retina damaged, you know, I can't actually watch him and see what he's doing. He's got to literally physically put my hands in these positions. So your hand needs to be here, your foot needs to be there. So it's teach, learn it parrot fashion. You're going over it over again until you get everything in the correct position. So it is a lot harder to learn it with sight loss, but I think you get a bit more stubborn and more determined that you want to learn it. We've just got two new girls just started in my club, and they're both literally just started, and they've got eyesight problems. So my instructor's actually got me to take them under my wing and teach them. He said, "Well, because you've got the eye problems yourself, you know what problems that they're going to have, so I want you to train them." So this is literally the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, but when you look back, though, to how it was a few years ago,
yeah,
and to where you are now, and there you are, you're helping other people with a visual impairment in this. Would you have seen this coming?
No chance. Nowhere. 4 years ago, when I first lost sight, I have no idea what to expect. If somebody said to me, in 4 years' time, you're going to be representing Great Britain in a competition, I'd have thought, no, what? I'd be just sat here miserable. It's just, I've just been, in a way, I have actually been lucky, falling in the right place at the right time. I'm also thankful for Angela, my girlfriend, because if it weren't for her, there's no way I could actually get to some of these competitions, because they're in Nottingham, they're in London, they're all over the place. I could not get to them. It's just been, you know, it's been a roller coaster of 4 years. And if the next 4 years carries on the way it has this time, you know, no idea what I'll be doing. Hopefully the Olympics, who knows?
Well, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
The thing is, of course, isn't it? It's something that sometimes when we're living with sight loss or another disability, We want to be independent, and we've been used to doing things ourselves.
Yeah.
It's quite humbling to know that sometimes we do need to ask for a bit of help.
Yeah. When I first lost my sight, it was the opposite. Everyone was trying to do too much for me. It was, Steve, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I'll do it. I said, no, I need to be able to do it myself. You're not always going to be here. I want to do it myself. If I then realise I can't do it, I will then ask for help. But I don't want you mollycoddling me, doing everything for me. I've got to do it myself. But then because as you're going on, you realise what you can and can't do. I know you've got limitations. You're not allowed to drive. DVLA are quite funny about things like that. But, you've got to find out for yourself what you can and can't do. Now, back to being blind veterans, they're very good at teaching you independent skills, giving you technical stuff around the house that you can actually use on your own, kettle machines, so you don't burn your hands when you're making a cuppa, water level meters, so you know how much water goes into a cup or a pan and things like that. Without a lot of the technology out there, I've lost some of my independence also.
Yeah, and sometimes these little steps are good for a while, and you build confidence on top of that then, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Once you've done one thing once, you think, well, that was pretty straightforward. If somebody's with you and they go through guiding you to doing something once, you can think, well, yeah, it's easy enough to do. I also find that I put a shelf up the other week, and it was probably better put up than it would when I'd be able to see. But when you see, you look at the wall and think, yeah, that's fine, put it on. But because I was using like talking spirit levels to get it exact, it was actually spot on. So I probably made a better effort that way than I would have done normally.
Oh, that's incredible. And of course, this year, 2018, you were recognised. You're Bradford Disability Sports Person of the Year.
Correct, yes.
That opened some doors.
No. It didn't exactly open any doors, but it was good to be recognised for what I've actually done. So although it didn't open any doors, it was good to be recognised that, people have noticed, well, yeah, he's done a lot last year, sort of thing. So yeah, it's a nice trophy, and it was good to be noticed, and hopefully I'll win again next year.
And we've kind of touched on this, but what are your aims now? What's next for you?
Next, there is the National Championships in London on the 14th and 15th of December. Now, I will not be going to that one because it's too close to Christmas, and I'm just not going to be ready for it. But on the 1st of December, I will be going for my black belt. It's an all-day event. And it's a long day. But yeah, I'll be doing my first degree black belt in December, 1st of December, Saturday the 1st.
Fantastic.
So that's like my next target.
Yeah, and of course, doing this, you're networking as well, aren't you?
Yeah. You're meeting all new people. Every time you go, I'll probably train once a month with Team GB. I've got my next one on the 15th of October. And when you're meeting all the GB staff, you're catching up with new members who've joined the Paris squad. And then you socialise with them. And then when you've been away for a couple of months, you're catching up again what they've been up to. They may come out with ideas that I haven't done myself, I haven't thought of, or new clubs that have sprung up that are visually impaired. So, you're constantly networking with new people with the same problems that you're facing.
Well, Steve, it's great to hear that you're in such a good place now, and it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. I'd love to catch up with you later, though, when you're a little bit further along and we see how you're getting on.
That's fine, Simon, yeah. No problems at all. It'd be good to come back on the show.
Steve Birkin, it's been a pleasure. You're listening to R&IB Connect Radio.